Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome, everyone. We are in season 17, and I am so sorry. I'm so sorry we're here.
Yeah, I feel like I should be proud of us that we're this far, but it feels like having to like go through torture to be, I don't know. It's not great, guys, but we're going to try to make it enjoyable, and maybe we'll have some laughs together, not about COVID, but about just like having to re-enter this realm of life again together. Today, we'll be talking about season 17, episode 1, 2, and 3. And if you have not yet watched all of Grey's Anatomy through season 19, highly recommend doing that unless you want to be spoiled. We are a spoilers podcast.
Yes. And if you want to support us, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can be an intern, resident, or attending. And by pledging to be a patron, you get different bonus things. You can be in our Facebook group. You get bonus episodes and you get Zoom hangouts with us. Also, if you're a $10 attending, you get post-op. And today we're going to talk about Joe and Jackson and their shift in friendship, I would say.
Yeah.
In the beginning of season 17, I also had a dream about Jesse Williams last night. So that will also be in the post-op if you...
I'll also share... No one likes to hear people's dreams, but I had a weird part of mine that I would also like to share. It has nothing to do with any of this, but I woke up so stressed out and then it's the dumbest thing. So if you want to hear our dreams, come to post-op.
I'll keep it very short and sweet, but you only get to hear about it if you're a $10 attending. And then also follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod. If you were following us last week, you would have seen that Abby and I were at Grey's Anatomy Trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a fun little thing. Sometimes we bop on there and sometimes we go live. We haven't in a while, but get some wine in us.
Oh, we should.
And
all I have in me right now is liquid IV, which is like the least boring. And I wish we were sponsored, but we're not.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
I was going to say about trivia. Shout out to our listeners who are smarter than us, who knew the answer of Izzy's first boyfriend's name.
Hank.
I was truly blown away by the amount of, I mean, like we knew hockey player, but we couldn't remember the name. And I am blown away by the amount of people that were like, oh, Hank.
But I do wonder how many of those people Googled it. Because with trivia, you can't Google. I mean, you could, but that's seriously cheating. And they really, you know, if you're winning by Googling, that's not trivia. But I'm sure a lot of people actually just knew Hank's name, which, surprising, shocking. They should be the leaders of this podcast.
It was wild. I also am still kind of mad at us for I think you said it and we didn't trust your gut about the age of Maggie Pierce when she graduated med school.
Yeah.
I feel like I should know that. Like that was one that if we had gotten that made us lose the other part of that. And I feel like I felt like I should have known that.
Yeah, because she does... She had recently said it in an episode we covered. I remember she was doing surgery and she said that she was 19 when she graduated med school, but I could not remember the number. But I could see the scene in my head.
Right. That and Han being Mick.
Oh.
Was it intense? No.
Mick badass?
No. Anyways, well, clearly we can't do that, but I didn't remember that part either. So Erica Hahn haunting us because she was also part of the Denny Duquette question.
Right. But I did get Boise.
Oh,
this was one of the craziest, one of the craziest moments of my life. I just have to. Okay. So the question was, what city are the doctors flying to in season 8 when the plane crashes? And Abby and I looked at each other like we have no idea. Like, we could not even attempt to pull a city out of our asses. And so
right.
I think we said like St. Louis. We kind of talked about like, well, they're in Seattle, so maybe it's kind of like, and they were in the forest where they crashed. So we were like, it's probably northern something. I'm like, maybe Montana. I don't know. But then I knew that.
Do you remember I said to you, what state is next to Seattle or to Washington? And you said, wait, where is the city?
Boise, Idaho. Idaho.
Okay, Idaho. Sorry, I am really bad at those states. And you said Idaho, and then you said, and I was like, that seems right. Like, but you pulled it. You're so, I don't know how you did this.
So then I was just like, I don't know, Boise. And so we decided to just wager 1 point because we're like, well, we're obviously like out of all the cities in the United States, like we're not going to randomly get Boise. And Boise was the fucking answer. And to me, that just shows that that is deep in my subconscious. That, like, I sleep to Grey's Anatomy and information penetrates my brain without me even realizing. Because when I said it, I didn't have a feeling of, like, I think this might be the answer. It was like,
right.
This is a throwaway question. Let's just fucking put Boise down. And then we got it right, which was hilarious to me. So
also shocking is that a lot of people got it right. I was like, oh. We did win round one, though, everyone. So we did. I felt like that was good for us. Like, we took home a win.
Yes.
So that was good. Also, I just wanted to say, too, to everyone that it is February now, which is the month Grey's comes back. So it'd be a great time to become a patron because we are going to probably do a Zoom hangout. And we'll all have a lot to say about Ellen's last episode. So, and like the Facebook group will be really fun. So this would be a really great month, I think, personally, to join. We just really like, the only reason we continue to do this is because of your support. Also, I hope you know there's a literal direct correlation. So thank you to all of you that do support us and have for so long.
I want to say, because I don't know that we say this enough, you can stop pledging at any time. Like, this isn't like a subscription thing where you're like, oh, for 12 months, you have to like support the on-call room. You could literally be like, oh, Grace, it's coming back. I want to do a Zoom hangout. I'm going to pledge $10 this month, do the Zoom hangout. And then we would love for you to continue. But if that's not in your budget or something you're able to do, then you can just bop out a Patreon, you know? So there are ways, and that supports us too. So The final way is leaving a review anywhere you listen. 5 scalpels, please. We really appreciate all those reviews that come in. I think we're at a 4.8, so thriving over here.
I feel proud of us. I also feel proud that we're still doing this. And I'm just proud. Also, I will just say, and I know we're going to talk a lot about this in doing this episode, but it simultaneously felt like too soon. And also felt like it was a long time ago. Like,
yeah,
time since 2020 has never made sense to me. And like going back and watching these was really weird.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely get into it. And just some of the, I don't want to get too deep. I have some things I want to say.
Tell me your things.
Well, I mean, when we talk about the episodes, I don't know. Is there anything else we need to touch base on, talk about?
I am going to New York tomorrow, which is fun.
Oh, great.
I have a 6 a.m. flight, which is not fun. My anxiety starts about, like, as soon as we wrap this up, my anxiety will begin about, like, not waking up. You know what I mean? And just, like,
yeah.
I always, like, don't feel good when I have to wake up at 4 a.m. So I always get travel anxiety. If I have a flight in the afternoon, zero travel anxiety. But if it's like before I'm a functioning human, there's just like a little bit of like, bah. And then I'm like in New York City at 8 a.m. No one is awake. I mean, there are people awake, but like, what can I do at 8 a.m., you know?
I don't know. I mean, where do you have to go at 8 a.m.?
I can go to someone's house, which is helpful. So there is someone I can go to, but like, it's just weird. It's just like, how will I, like, you will be waking up and I'll be in another state.
I know. It's really travel, airplanes, wild that we can do that.
Also, this is the last annoying thing this is the most boring content I've ever said, but I am going like upstate New York a little, not upstate. I'm going north of the city, like outside of the city, and we're staying in a little Airbnb, and I want to bring sweaters because I want to be comfy. And although it is going to be like kind of warmish, but you know how, and but like you do a carry on, you can fit one sweater.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, oh, I was going to say like, I know you already do like the roll method. So
I know how many should I, and if I wear this one sweater, then my coat doesn't fit well over it. So there's just, then I'll be sweating in the airport. Also, this is a little like, female moment. I think I'm going to get my period and it's been a while since I've needed to use tampons and stuff. And I like can't remember how many I might need. I'm like, should I fill my carry-on with tampons? I feel like those memes where it's like a man works at my office and is in charge of stocking the tampons and there's like 200.
Yeah.
And I feel like that. Like I'm like, do I bring an entire suitcase worth? Will I be able to get tampons anywhere? It's so dumb.
I mean, that it's such, I mean, luckily, if you have enough to have on a flight, I'm sure you could stop somewhere and get tampons. It's not like you're not going to be in a place that doesn't offer tampons somewhere.
I just like, I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna like, I just don't know how to handle this. Traveling with all of that, what a nuisance.
Yeah, I know. I think it also depends person to person. Like if you were to ask me when I was getting periods, like what, how many tampons, I would be like 200. Yeah. Because like I had a very heavy flow, you know, but like you who might have a right. more moderate flow would be like, I think I can get by with 10 or whatever, you know, it's just tough.
Yeah. I just don't even know. I wish I could recall this. I don't know if it was a TikTok or like if someone had asked someone for a pad and they like someone gave them one and that person that received it took a photo of it and was like appalled by it. I think because it was like really large, like or something. And the internet exploded with women being like, if my pad doesn't go from my belly button up to my lower back, like I don't want it. And they were all talking about like, it needs wings. It needs to be full underwear. And it was making me laugh so hard. It was a moment where I felt like women were coming together and like not shaming each other and instead being like, give me the biggest diaper you can. Like, and it made me laugh so hard. And I just felt, you know, that TikTok sound that's like, oh, I love being a woman. Yeah, like that made me feel that way. I was like, look at all of us supporting each other.
It is funny too, when you ask another woman, even like of a close friend of yours, like, hey, do you have a tampon? Hey, do you have a pad? Just to see what type of brand they use or, you know, yes. And like, you're like, huh, this isn't what I usually buy, but okay. Like, I'm sorry to anyone out there who does this, but I don't understand women who buy cardboard applicator tampons. Like when there are plastic.
Yeah, there's a better way.
When there are plastic ones and maybe plastic isn't great, but it is so uncomfortable using a cardboard applicator. I don't know why they still exist. I feel like you might have used these, the ones that don't have an applicator.
Well, I was just going to say, I would rather use that than a cardboard applicator if I had to choose.
I never could figure out how to use them. Like, I'm assuming you stick your fingers up.
The applicator.
Like, I'm assuming you kind of sit, but I always felt like, you know, where you're kind of like half in, half out, and you're like, this hurts really bad as I walk, you know?
Yeah. Oh, or that string gets caught between your legs, and you're like, holy shit.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who have periods out there listening right now, like, yeah, I get that. That's really awful.
Yeah, and I don't want to apologize for talking about this. I think it's funny. I also, like, loved – I know we talk about – some of our listeners are also armchair expert listeners. They did a period episode on their Armchair Anonymous that I just loved. Like, I think it's like a topic that is, the more we talk about it, the less like taboo it is. And I just appreciated that episode a lot. And
my sister said to me, she was like, when I heard that episode, I thought to myself,
I wanted you to call it.
Yes, these are nothing compared to Bree's stories. And I'm like, I know. Like, they all seemed so very mild. But I have like story after story of like horrific things happening to me.
Yeah, I have the one too, which I'll be vague because I'm not going to tell it on air here, but to you, where the string broke and the process in which I had to do to excavate that from my body. Yeah. I was in New York and I was alone in a friend's apartment. And let's just say I had to go into, per her like she allowed me to do this nightside drawer to get some lubricant to help get it out. And I just remember being like crying and being like, I'm going to have to go to the emergency room.
Well, listeners, I did one time go to the emergency room. So I'll just leave that at that.
That would be a behind the paywall story.
Yeah, that one. Oh, I don't even know if I could tell that one behind the paywall.
If you ever did, you should definitely get paid for it. So that's all I'm going to say. But I don't know. So other than me packing an entire carry-on of tampons tomorrow, that's about all I have going on in my life.
You pay like extra money to check a bag because your whole carry-on is just tampons.
Meanwhile, I'm going to New York City where there are women who use tampons.
That is what I'm saying. It's going to be okay. I am saying just have enough on the plane. Have enough that if you had to change a tampon every hour on the plane, that would be good.
I also don't want I've not in 8 years had it where like, you know, it might be coming, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, it's here. And you're like, I was like, should I just wear a tampon because just in case to catch it? Like, I just don't want that moment, the surprise moment, you know?
It is an awful feeling when you know it's kind of coming and then you're like, oh my God, I think I started my period. But then you go to the bathroom and you didn't start your period. But then like that night you're like sleeping and you wake up to like a massacre and you're like, great, that's awesome. That's all over my sheets now.
Yeah. Which is weird that, okay, for a medical show, well, I guess because it's public television, like, or not public television, but like Grace doesn't talk about periods ever, I feel like.
No, I feel like there's that one episode with Miranda where they're in the clinic and they're like teaching the girl how to use pad and stuff because
her mom has died,
right? But she really wants to talk about like she had sex or something. And yeah, so anyway.
That was the one. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Well, do you have anything to share?
No, I'm just... No, ready to hit these monologues, you know, and get into the season of COVID, which.
Yeah, I also want a disclaimer for this season. And I was meant to talk to you about them. I want a disclaimer that there are a lot of important topics, like cultural topics that happen in this season. Like, I know they cover Black Lives Matter. I know they cover obviously COVID and like what it was like to be a doctor, nurse, like anyone working in the medical field. And I don't want to, like, because we are going to shit on these a little. I just know it. And I don't want it to, I just really hope you all know us well enough to know that we're not shitting on these important topics and that like this time wasn't incredibly hard. It's like very much just about the television show, the characters, the writing. And I just want to like preface with that like, I understand COVID is still happening and a lot of people lost people. But I don't want to like, I want to be able to like laugh about things with our Grey's Anatomy characters and stuff without always being so, the show is serious enough, I feel like, that I would like to make our podcast a lighter moment of that. So I just want to like preface that, like, we know and understand that those things are incredibly important and it's great that they were shown. That being said, sometimes it's hard to watch.
Yes. I thank you for saying all of that. I agree with everything you just said. And, you know, we'll just remind you, you can disagree with us. Like, you don't have to tell us you disagree with us, but like, it is okay to listen to a podcast and be like, huh, I don't necessarily agree with that take, and then move on with your life. Like, it doesn't.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, I listen to Armchair Expert all the time and I'm like, Dax, I don't agree with what you're saying at all. And that's okay. Like, we're human.
You mean like when he tells every guest that he is just like them?
Dax, I don't agree with that. Stop.
You are not
that.
Like Pamela Anderson. Yeah. You are. yeah. Okay. That is great. Also, good point, Brie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's have fun. Let's try to get through this all in one piece. And I'll start with the first monologue.
Yeah, just so everyone know, the title is All Tomorrow's Parties, The Center Won't Hold, and My Happy Ending.
So much for my happy ending. Is that Avril? I bet it is.
That's Avril. Oh, it's Avril. Yeah.
I listened to that song today.
Really? That's really
random. Yeah, I'm always, no, it's not for me though. I'm only always listening to like 2000s, like Michelle Branch, Stacey Orico, Avril Lavigne. That's just the the mental space I'm pretty much always in. So, okay. I've heard that when tidal waves hit, there are often people watching on shore. They see the disaster coming, see the horizon disappearing. They don't really see until it's too late. There's a lecture we take in residency that's meant to prepare us for such disasters. It's called Disaster Ethics, where future surgeons imagine what they would do when the unimaginable happens. But it's imperfect, because while it's good to plan for the worst, you can't really know how you'll handle it until you're smack dab in the middle of it, under the wave, trying not to drown. Disaster has a tendency to melt away everything else in life. So if you want to know who you'll be in a disaster, ask yourself, who am I now? Meredith Gray.
We surgeons have come up with a stitch for just about anything. Get a mole removed, subcutaneous suture. Snag your arm on barbed wire, loose interrupted suture. Internal bleed, silk. Slice your scalp open. Well, that's going to need staples. We obsess about making every stitch precise and strong. As proud as we surgeons are of our stitches, they aren't meant to be a permanent fix. Your body still has to do the real work. An army of different cells come in to build new tissue, and eventually you've produced enough collagen to heal. At least that's the plan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't obsess about technique. Please obsess, because even one mistake, one slip, can cost a lot of blood. Meredith Gray.
Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart at all times. I literally feel like I have. Okay, so stressful. Work from home, only leave the house for essential services, and at times we even need you to isolate from the people you love. We have to press pause on everything that makes us feel like we belong. Sadly, quarantine looks a lot like surgical internship. No joy if you want to survive. They say following the rules saves lives, but what happens when life suddenly changes the game entirely? What happens when you find yourself walking on a totally new ground? I wish I knew. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup, we have Caden Lee, full thickness burns.
Aaron Banks, abdominal hernia.
Andrew DeLuca, bipolar disorder.
Miranda Bailey, sprained ankle.
Steve Lee, nose injury.
Frankie Morris, autosomal? Why can't I say that word? Recessive polycystic kidney disease, impaled object renal damage.
Aaron Morris, forehead laceration.
Meredith Gray, COVID-19.
I don't know how to say this name.
Minaj Joshi,
displaced fracture of the hook of the hamate? Hamet?
Hamate? Val Ashton, abdominal pregnancy.
Luna Ashton, prematurity.
And, wait. Oop, I wrote Tom Krasick prematurity, but I meant COVID-19. Oh, also, Tom, he's a little immaturity, so that works.
Tom is a little premature. okay, so for rounds, we have Joe S. Jackson. I'm going to read this. We're going to talk about this in post-op. Joe S. Jackson for a sexual favor and ends up crying into his mouth. She's not yet ready to move on, but he says it's okay. They can remain friends.
We travel back in time to find out that the girl who DeLuca believed to be a victim of human trafficking was indeed a victim. She comes back to the hospital and tells her whole story to DeLuca. They end up bringing her sister in and reuniting the family. After this, there's an intervention for DeLuca and he goes to get help. When the pandemic begins, he's back at work and medicated and tries to encourage Meredith to get some sleep and take care of herself.
Richard comes back into work and is cobalt free. He finds a way to sanitize the PPE and tells Bailey he never wants to leave the hospital, that this is his home. We also see a flashback of Jackson encouraging Richard to not give up on Catherine and try and welcome her back into his life. Catherine calls him and Tom into the office and gives Richard his chief jobs back, at the same time letting Tom go. Richard tells Catherine he's ready to move forward and move in with her again. Tom gets put in charge of the new set of interns who we shouldn't get attached to because I'm pretty sure they're only in one season. Tom fails at teaching and invites Richard back because it's what he is good at. Richard takes the three remaining interns into the OR and gives a similar speech to what he always does, except this time he talks about how things are changed and we can't ever go back.
Amelia and Link are back at Meredith's house watching Scout, Zola, Ellis, and Bailey and trying to function as a parent to all these children. They both are so distracted that they miss Link's birthday, and right when they are about to enjoy being intimate with each other, they get interrupted by Scout. With Meredith in the hospital, they are now full-time taking care of her children as well.
Winston and Maggie are in a thriving relationship but are having to be long distance because of COVID. Winston does sweet things like have her family set up a tent in the backyard so that Maggie can see her family without having to sleep on the floor.
Everyone is alienating Teddy because of what she did with Tom. We see how Owen gave her the chance to tell the truth and she chose not to right before he plays the voicemail for her to hear. Teddy pleads with Owen to talk to her, but it doesn't work, and he leaves her in a parking lot. When she goes to Tom to try and get coffee and talk, Owen comes in and tells Tom that he has COVID.
After a long day of exhausting work, Meredith collapses in the parking lot and is found by Hayes. We finally enter the alternate reality of the beach where Meredith sees Derek waving to her. Meredith tested positive for COVID, and despite wanting to go to a hotel to quarantine by herself, they are keeping her at the hospital because she keeps passing out. Meredith's sisters and Bailey are bothering her because the person she has in charge of her medical directive is Alex, and Bailey tells her that decisions like that are hard to make over the phone. She encourages her to find someone local. Cormac suggests that she writes exactly what she wants done onto a piece of paper and choose someone to defend it. She chooses Richard. Back on the beach, Meredith runs to Derek, who continues to say the sand isn't real, and falls on her face. Derek laughs at her and says he loves her.
Joe operates on a woman who is pregnant with a baby that has attached itself to her liver. The woman didn't know she was pregnant, but she does know that if she were to have a daughter, her name would be Luna. During surgery, there are complications, and Joe does what she can to keep her alive long enough to meet her child.
All right, first notes. Mara is sitting on the beach. I don't remember it opening this way.
Yeah, I just said, oh, we're already here. Like, we're already back at it.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to go right into my second note is, oh my God, we used to applaud doctors.
Yeah, that is
like,
true.
Remember that? Like in New York City, the windows would open and every day at shift change, people would like applaud the whole city.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, like, we didn't do that, but like,
no,
yeah.
But it, like, people did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just crazy. I remember that so well. That was like when John Krasinski was doing his good news show. Do you remember that?
Yes, like, I do remember that. My next note is April 2020, because it says on the screen, like, April 2020. And I just went, oh, God damn it. Like, I do not want to go back here. Like,
no.
And I think a lot of us don't want to go back there. So my next note is just Miranda. So I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. There was just like, so I just feel like overall too, I'll just say with this, it's like they obviously ended a previous season earlier than they meant to. So they had, which I was watching, and I think that the both episodes aired the same night. Like I think
they
did.
It
was like a two-part. Yeah, because I remembered the Derek thing happening like on the premiere. And so they had to do all of that time jumping in order to like close up so many of the story gaps. And in order to, because it's like, even if COVID hadn't kept going, they would have had to do that. But it's like they had to tackle COVID and close everything about the previous season.
Yeah. So to be fair, I will say, like, I didn't mind the flashback scenes and I really appreciated them. At first, I was kind of confused. I'll say, like, I have, like, a note in here about, like, Amelia's son, Amelia and Link's son, Scout. I was like, shouldn't he be older by now? But I think I was assuming that the same amount of time that we had to wait for the season had gone by. But it was, like, pretty quick. Like, there were just a couple of weeks, I think, that went by. And then COVID hit, right? Like, in the in Gray's world. Like,
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. It would have been however long it took Richard to get better, which I don't know because he had surgery, you know what I mean? Like that final episode.
I just feel like Scout was like a newborn and I feel like he should not have been.
Yeah. My guess was maybe like 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
Because of like, I mean, DeLuca having to go get help. She was still on maternity leave. So to me, that could also only be, I don't know how much you get as a doctor, you know, or how much she would want to take.
Yeah.
Because it feels like she was on maternity leave and then COVID happened. And so she didn't go back. You know what I mean? Didn't
right.
kind of feel that way?
Yes. Oh, my God. I didn't even make the connection that she was on maternity leave. I was like, why does she have to be home watching Meredith's kids? Of course, she's on maternity leave.
So I think it's pretty fresh.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Wow. I don't know why I didn't make that connection at all.
I mean, it's all right. But yeah, that's my guess as to why. And I don't know if like it happened while she was on leave or if it, you know, she was choosing to stay a little longer and then Meredith is gone. So someone has to take care of all those kids. But this was, remember when we got the back of Meredith's house for the first time.
Oh, God. Yeah, that people were not happy about. Okay. I want to say quickly, I just want to like address the COVID stuff quickly. And so I'm like six notes in. So I must not be that far into the episode. My note is so far we have the lines. We have enough ventilators. What about PPE for the staff? We're reusing it. Okay. So like that line. And I said, these lines feel like it is written in a way that they need to hit every important part of COVID. Like it doesn't feel natural at all. Like it just feels like these are the hot button topics of what was happening during COVID. Like not enough ventilators, not enough PPE for the staff. We're reusing it. And it just felt like lazy writing to me. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm also going to add, and again, this is like this is a true fact and it is important and they do tackle this in the storyline, but the way Winston says like, and it's, you know, affecting like brown and black people, like in a higher rate. Like the way that he said that was so like out of the blue, and it is true. And I feel like later on they address it in a way that is like more personal and better writing, but that felt like a bullet point. That, yes. And like, even when that guy was like, I don't want a Chinese doctor, that line also felt, and again, I know that that is like real things that people were saying and tweeting and, you know, whatever, but it didn't feel, it just felt like they were just, okay, check mark, check mark, check mark. We've hit all the things.
Yes, exactly. It felt like, I think that's a good way to put it. It felt like a bullet list of like, and so quickly in the beginning of the episode, it was just like, I don't like,
it's like they had to catch us up to speed real quick and we needed to get every little aspect of it that was happening. I will say of the COVID stuff, the one part that actually like I thought was well done, and maybe it was too cheesy, but like Tom thinking he's on top of it, like getting all the PPE and instead it's just all those booties, and he just like, the meltdown with the golf club was weird. I was like, where'd he get the golf club? But the part when he just sits on the ground and cries, I felt like that probably happened a lot, you know? Yeah. Or like anytime like Joe stepped outside and looked at the sun, Meredith's acting and the crying in that room isn't great. But like those moments where like they take a second, I felt like we're very like, okay, that is a good way of showing it. Not necessarily just like yelling out lines.
Yeah. And I just want to point out that Tom has that golf club because he carries it around with him to say, don't get more than 6 feet. Remember?
He does
that to Richard. He's like, why do you have a 9-iron? And he's like, and he sticks it out and he said, so you don't get any closer to me than this. So he just like carries that around like, oh. Tom totally would. Like that makes sense.
Oh, that makes me, I don't know how I missed that. That is goofy. But people would do shit like that.
Yeah, no, it was very goofy, but you're right. Like, and there was another part that, oh, I want to talk about that Meredith scene. So Meredith is losing so many patients, as we know happened during COVID, especially in the beginning of COVID, like so many patients were lost. And she goes into like the supply closet. And I just like, I'm sorry, but like when, just think about when Meredith cried in the elevator with Derek, you know, and it was just so good. And her like acting was just so bad. It was just like her wailing was not good. And I was like, fuck, this could be like really impactful because I'm sure so many people were crying in supply closets and like so many people were crying at home, you know, but it just felt so, I don't know if cheesy is the right word, but it was like, it just didn't hit the same way.
No, like, or her breathing into the bag in that same room. Like, well, part of me is like music plays a big role too.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you one time that I felt like there was music in this episode. I'm sure there was.
No, but I was taking a ton of notes about it because last episode in that notes and trivia, we had mentioned that whoever did the music for 16 seasons left the show. Yep. The music, Abby, is so, if you would have been paying attention to it, it was so bad. And I don't want, I want to be careful because like if someone like really liked that artist or something, but it was all just like very slow, sad music, but not in the good grace way. And it just like, and there was this one song with like Luna that like, it was like, I'm gonna be stronger and I'm gonna get through it. And it was just like, again, cheesy. I was like, this is not Grey's Anatomy music. This is not Chasing Cars. This is like.
Oh, yeah. There was also, I'm looking at the, I'm looking at the song list. There was a John Legend song.
Yep. Yep.
In the third episode.
It wasn't.
Which feels like he doesn't feel like the vibe of Grey's to me. I love John Legend. Doesn't seem like a Tegan and Sarah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think that was part of it too with these episodes. And I was really trying to pay attention to the music choices. They were not great. And they were to me the type of music that you would maybe put in Touch by an Angel. Like, you know. Yeah.
The only moments that I felt like musically I felt connected was when the Mare Dare piano music played.
Yes.
When she sees him. And I'm looking too, which I guess it was at that round, that same part when Meredith is passed out and she sees Derek, there is a Sleeping at Last song playing, which I do feel like their vibe has always been on Grey's.
Yes.
But really just the Mare Dare music was like the one time that I noticed music and felt that it enhanced the story.
Yes, totally agree. Do you want to talk about the Mare Dare moment?
Sure. I knew I had remembered it happening on the premiere. So when it didn't happen in like the first part, I was like, what? And then realized those aired the same night. But that was the highlight. I have a feeling the beach, albeit it is so cheesy, is going to be the part of the season that I like the most because it's just crazy. Like, it's just goofy. Like, it is just... I don't know, but I will say, like, I don't care how cheesy it is. I did get goosebumps seeing Derek.
GGBs, baby. They're back.
What I wish had been done, and I'm no TV producer. So, like, rather than that they try to get closer. She can't. And then when she finally kind of gets close, she does that, which we will talk about, # the yeet, which is her falling. It was, like, trending on Twitter when that happened. Is like, what, can you imagine how good it would have been to have like a big hug, like an actual reunion?
Well, okay. So this is why I think they didn't do that. And what he's saying is she's not ready yet. Like, right. I think the point of like them not being able to get together is like, she's like passing out and seeing him, but she's not on the vent yet. You know, like she's not walking towards the light. So she can't like get close to him. And I think that was in the writing, like, I think the point they were trying to make.
Yeah, I know. I just would have loved, I love a reunion hug, you know, like I call them airport hugs.
Yeah.
Like that scene in Love Actually. And I just like would have loved if the storyline could have allowed that instead of what they did. But it's either way, seeing him, as much as I giggled at him waving his arms because it just we've made fun of it all of these years, it was like, I don't know, seeing his face on that show, I got sad. I like missed him.
Yeah, I think there was something like healing for all of us seeing him again, because that meant that like him and Ellen Pomp, like Patrick Dempsey, yes, and Ellen Pompeo had come to terms with some things too, you know? So yes. I don't know. It felt like a big, like, homecoming in a way. And the waving is so silly. And there's so many, like, cut scenes of them just, like, on the beach briefly of him waving again, like, twice. And, like, why do we just keep cutting
shot?
To that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a drone shot of like spanning the distance between them that they show like three times.
Yes. I was like, we get it. They're not like close to each other. And that like wobbly warping thing that happens every time she'd try to get closer, and it would be like.
Yes.
But the initial, like when she's sitting there and you hear Meredith and she's like, does the squinty eye thing of like, who is that? And then we as viewers, I remember being like, we could not have anticipated
that.
That it was Derek Shepherd, like, because they had a huge falling out. And I can't believe that didn't leak at all.
Yeah, there's some info and notes and trivia about that. Should I read it now, that part, or no?
We can get to it later, yeah.
Okay, but I just loved when, I think Derek says, doesn't she say, I miss you?
Yes.
Yeah, and he says, like,
I know.
I think he says, I know. And I remember thinking that was emotional, just like her admitting, like, I miss you, you know, like, and being able to say that to that person, whether or not they're real or not. I just really like loved that moment. I do feel like that moment of the episode was really fun, and the surprise of that and all of the future people that show up was like kept me watching in season 17 for sure.
I agree. Yeah. What do you think? We talked about the hypothesis. What do we think the sand isn't real, Meredith, means?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that like the sand, like you can't get here. The sand isn't real. It's not like this isn't real. I really liked someone in our group did the comparison of like when Denny would say, "I'm here for you," yes, over and over and over again. And that to me feels like the most accurate type of comparison, because it feels then it's like continuing something they've already kind of done.
Yes. Like this isn't really a beach. Like this is what you're projecting right. It to be in your weird passed out state or whatever. The middle world, the middle realm of the supernatural. Grace gets supernatural sometimes.
One of our listeners, I hope I'm saying this right, Sindra, said, "I always took it as this place isn't real, that Meredith was in limbo between life and death, exactly like when she met Denny after her drowning. The beach isn't a place where all her loved ones hang out. It's just her imagination. So yeah. Her dying wouldn't be this blissful beach. Derek didn't want her to get tricked into staying, but return to life."
Oh my God, that is like the most beautiful response. Wouldn't it get tricked into staying? Wow. Whoever that is should be a writer, because they got it. They got the metaphor, and I did not get the metaphor.
Right. Like if you die, it's not going to be this, like, you know.
Right.
Because it would be so easy to choose that.
Right. 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 Okay. Good. 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 Good.
Yeah. So, and I also felt, just talking about the Meredith thing now. Okay. One thing, I felt super annoyed by her not wanting to talk about her medical, like, what's it called?
Yeah, her
like,
power directive. Of attorney. Yeah.
Because I was like, you fucking have kids. Like, you right. should be responsible enough to, like, make this choice. And I get that she wanted it to be Alex, but I also agree with them that that's not a good choice when, like, he can't physically get there.
Right.
And I just felt like it was really annoying how she was like, "Let me just see my kid." Like, she just wouldn't talk about it. I was like, come on. Like, you are an adult with children. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. I also, like, and it's just classic Meredith, right? Like, I don't want to be put on a vent. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, you don't want to be put on a vent. And I do know that at that time, like, often people who went on vents, like, didn't come off vents.
Right. Like, right.
So I do understand that. But her reasoning of being like, well, someone else needs it more than I do. And he's like, but what if it gets to a point where you're the one who actually needs it?
Yeah, you know, it's like putting a hand in a body. I feel like she's grown from that. Do you know what yes. I mean? With a bomb in a body.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's very, like, early Mare who, like, didn't treasure her own life, you know, mm-hmm. and like put herself in dangerous things. And this just felt like, come on.
I do kind of remember like we get to an episode where she kind of has a conversation with Derek about that, about like, I'm kind of sick of fighting, and like, it would be nice to kind of just come be with you and mm-hmm. die, you know? So, and then like, I think she brings up the kids or whatever. So I think we do get a little bit of that, because I can imagine too, like, just being fucking lonely and exhausted, and then just being like, and it coming off as martyrdom. Like, I don't, like, don't give me the vent, give someone else who needs it. But really, it's just like the same things, like you said, creeping in from before. So
I really liked Cormac's advice to her about, like, write it down then, and just the way he talks to her during that. I thought this again, and I was wrong again. The way that he was talking about it, like, I really thought she's like, are you volunteering? And he was like, no, but I remember thinking, oh, I like this as an option. Like, what if a third party like him, you know, like became it? But
yeah.
I just love that I feel like they bond so much during this, and then just for nothing. And I'm just sad, because I do think they have good chemistry, just me personally, but.
I think they do as well.
He's like mysterious, which I like. Scott Speedman is not mysterious.
No, Scott Speedman. I don't understand how Scott Speedman could be so great in the show You, and then hit come on Grey's Anatomy, and like something just shifted. Like, he couldn't. I don't know what it was.
Can we talk about Owen and Teddy?
Of course we can.
Okay. I felt things in their acting, I will say.
Yes. Like, yeah.
I felt like Owen giving her the chance to tell the truth. I was like, come on, Teddy. Like, this is, you know, and just her immediate emotional reaction to like hearing the voicemail. I just cannot imagine what that would feel like.
So much shame. So much shame.
Yeah.
I do, like, I'm sure too in that moment you wonder, like, if I would have just come clean and been honest, like, I think Owen would have been willing to, like, work through that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know they end up together, but, like, really giving her an opportunity, but then her denying it again was like, okay, that's the nail in the coffin then. Like, I'm giving you a chance to be honest with me, and you're not.
Yes.
So, and I felt really bad about, like, so that was, like, the scene before, and I felt really bad that, like, Teddy clearly wants to, like, talk about the two of them when Owen suggests they talk. But Owen's, like, thinking about if something happens to him with COVID, the kids, and he's not even, like, thinking about his relationship with Teddy. Like, that would feel really bad, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, I want to talk about us and, like, obviously they're brother and sister and, like, we'll make it work. And, like, I'm – but, like, I don't know.
When she said to Joe, I love Owen and I broke us and that feeling is unbearable, I felt like that was like really good writing of that, because like it would feel like wanting to crawl out of your own skin, I think, and just like not be you.
I agree.
The fact that like it's because of her, you know?
I also felt a lot of things with everyone kind of whispering and being mean to Teddy about it. And then especially when Joe was like directly like rude to her and Teddy finally slaps back. But, you know, like Bailey and Richard laughing about it, like, you know, that everyone's kind of chirping about it and no one's really talking to you and you don't really have any friends because you did fuck up so badly. It made me feel. And then in a time where everyone already felt so lonely during COVID.
Yes.
And then having no one, like not having Tom, not having Owen.
Yeah, even Tom is like, he says that he is broken and he needs to get over her.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even have him. I feel like it was a good metaphor for being isolated, like storyline.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And being left in a parking lot. And again, Owen is allowed to be mad. Like, what she did is, you know, is really hard. And he gave her a chance, I feel like, to write it. But being left in a parking lot like that is just, like, also devastating. Ugh.
I know. Getting in that big old truck and just driving away.
Yeah.
I really don't know how they resolve it. Is it because she
don't know either.
Because she gets COVID?
Does she get COVID?
Well, isn't that when she has the weird snow dream?
Oh, probably. Yeah, that seems about like a COVID-y thing.
Yeah, she's like has like a fever dream.
Yeah, that I bet so. I bet it's something like that. She also, doesn't she tell him about Allison finally? There's like a lot.
Oh, I think so. Is this the season where Owen walks again?
No, that's season 18.
Okay. Like, Owen, you took a step.
You know what? That was so exciting that, like, he might have, like, some serious injury. And then, like, they just were like, just kidding. He walks. Oh, God. Oh, also, I wanted to say, when Owen said to Teddy, like, why do you hate me? And she said, I don't hate you. And he says, when I cheated on Christina, I hated her.
Yeah.
I thought that was a throwback.
What do you think about the whole line? I guess it makes sense, but like when Teddy tells Joe, like, have you ever been so happy and so afraid of being happy that you have to destroy it? I felt like that's an interesting way for Grace to wrap this up, because to me, I didn't really get any of that from last season. I got that she loved two men. Yeah, that she loved two people. Like, not that she was like.
Yeah, the easy and happy are so unfamiliar to you felt more like an Owen thing.
I know.
Like,
I was
that's
like,
what he went to therapy for. You know, like, yeah, I agree. That didn't quite fit.
Yeah, it didn't land for me. I was like, okay, maybe in retrospect, that's what she found out, but it just didn't feel right to the story to me. Like, it would make more sense to be like, have you ever loved two people, you know? But I feel they had to write it in this way to like for Joe to empathize with her, because like Joe's like, all my life, you know. But I'm like, no, that's not how Teddy feels. I don't know how Teddy feels.
Yeah,
not fair. But
No, I agree. Anything else on those guys?
No.
I just want to say real quickly, because I don't want to spend too much time talking about this and there really isn't, is that Nico being back and trying to win Levi over with sex for stress relief again is, it is so, it makes me so mad.
I know. It's so blatantly like.
He is preying on him.
Yeah, well, and it's so sad too. Like Schmidt is like, I'm not okay. Like I haven't been okay. And I care about you as a person. I've hit patient 100 that has died and I've had to tell their family and that's a lot. And like, so anyway, I'm not okay. How are you? And Nico just being like, I'm fine. And then walking into the supply closet and being like, I don't care about talking about feelings. You just need stress relief. Don't take your mask off. Like, it's like gross. Yeah. This is.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite of what Schmidt has like wanted from Nico.
Right. Yeah. We need to give Schmidt a new love interest because it's just, this is outrageous.
Yeah. I don't care for it.
It'd be one thing if Schmidt wanted that. And I guess obviously he doesn't not want it because he like lets Nico, but he's continuously asked for emotions over and over again. And so it's sad to see him settling is my point.
Yes.
It's fine if he was like, yeah, I just want to have sex. Let's do it. Like, that's all I care about. Like, I love that for anyone to find two consenting adults, but like Joe and Jackson, which we'll talk about. But this feels like he wants more and he's still emotionally attached to Nico and Nico's using that.
Yes, yes, that's the exact right way to put it, Abby, and it is bullshit. And I don't care for Nico. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I don't care for him.
Yeah.
Amelia and Link.
Yeah, I thought, wow, what a sexy scene for Grays. Like that felt
where very, they're in the bed?
With their hands. I was like, where is her hand?
I know. I felt the same way. And I couldn't tell if this was like pre, like, is this foreplay or is this after? Like, what were they doing? And then they did have sex. I thought they hadn't had sex yet. And then the baby cried and she was like, I'll leave you to it to like,
oh, so did I,
to like masturbate. But like, I think they had sex.
They were going for round two.
And they were going for round two because he ends up saying like, I got everything I wanted. I had sex on my birthday.
That's what I thought too. Okay. Yeah. I also was confused by that. I just thought, wow, that felt like really, I mean, I watch HBO. There's a lot racier things.
Yeah.
But for Grey's Anatomy, it felt very like, oh.
Very sexy.
Anyways. Yeah. They're having lots of sexy moments. Amelia is feeling herself, which good on her because I don't know if I just birthed a baby, if I would be that excited.
I feel we'll like we talked about this in the original watch of this. We were like livid that Amelia like takes off her clothes outside. First of all, looks fucking fabulous. And then also like is so wants to have sex after having a baby. And I still kind of stand by that. But also I get her, what she said slapped harder this time about like, I can't have a glass of wine. Like, I'm stuck at home.
Yes.
I can't cut. I can't do any of these things. So, but what I can do for a release is have sex. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me now.
Yep.
But still.
Also, that sex therapist scene. Like, I love sex therapy. I believe in it. I think it's great. What that guy was doing felt so, it felt like a trope.
Okay, I was like, I wrote a note about that. And I was like, pretty sure this is unethical. Like, I don't think you can, like, be in therapy with someone while they're having sex. I took a sex therapy course. Nowhere in there was there talk of like you're guiding someone through having sex. Now, granted, you might come to session and talk about things and like initiate conversations and then come back and how'd that work? How did that go? But like that part where he's like, see, she likes it. I was like, what the fuck is that? Like,
yeah. Or it's like maybe not under the therapy umbrella. Maybe there's like, you know, like tantra, whatever classes or something that, but like to be called a therapist, I feel like that's a different realm.
Yeah. It didn't feel right to me. I was like, I don't think people are doing this. And if they are, I don't think it's very ethical is the point, but
right.
Or legal. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. Real quick on the new group of interns, which I think is one of those frustrating things where like then 2 seasons later, you know, we're getting this other new group. And I also felt like, I was like, oh yeah, I remember the mother-daughter or the Ortizes. And then I can't think of the name of the guy who was a Pakistani surgeon and how he like had to redo his medical like school because it didn't work and being frustrated by that. And I remember thinking like, oh, those are actually like kind of creative types of people. Then they just dropped off planet Earth.
Yeah. I thought it was like Mama Ortiz, who she was a social worker for 20 something years and then went to med school. And then she talks about, you know, like I was here during the H1N1.
Right.
I don't know. That was in a pandemic. What? Epidemic? Thing?
I'm not good at those words. Yeah.
I'm not good at those words. So I appreciated that she kind of snaps back at Tom and is like, I am like, I'm not discharging this patient. And they don't have anywhere to go after this and whatever. I don't know. I thought like, oh, this is like a feisty, cool character that like we could follow. It's like different than like our young interns, you know, someone who's
right.
This is their second career. But then, yeah, she just disappears.
It made me think of, remember the old guy? Uh-huh. In Early Grace?
Yeah. The grandpa from Gilmore Girls.
Wait, I was like, wait, yeah, isn't that Richard?
Yeah, it's Richard. Yeah, R.I.P.
Did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
I did, but I didn't watch the last season. I didn't finish
it. Because the mama and young Ortiz made me think of the mother and daughter that they like had the similar rapport with each other, you know, like, and I thought that I loved that in that storyline too. So, okay, Richard takes Catherine back. Were you surprised by that?
No. Were you?
No, not really. I originally liked his statement to Bailey about how like his only relationship that's never failed is with her and with the hospital. And I felt like that's very true to his character and it's why he will never leave. But then again, Jackson gave that whole speech and whatever. Also, I very much now remember that line of like, we're going to need some COVID tests.
Oh, I know.
Everything I can do to you.
It's like, okay, Richard.
Soon they're going to be in their satin pajamas and their robes.
Okay.
There's something coming where they're at a house.
Yeah. Couple things to say about this. Richard's robe in the hospital, always looking fly. He always has, whenever he's in the hospital, he has different colored sheets. So he has like green sheets on there. He has a beautiful looking bathroom, like an ensuite bathroom, which is great. So many beautiful flowers. I'm like, Richard thrives as a patient in the hospital.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He's like lounging on that couch when Jackson comes in. I did find it interesting in the flashback with him talking about how he was inappropriate with another woman, even though it wasn't physical. I didn't really feel like that's how he felt last season.
It felt like
how
Gemma felt, but not him.
Yeah, not him. And he was like being there for her in support of the program and stuff, not like, but he... I don't know. I feel like there were a lot of things to like wrap up that maybe we would have gotten that, but there were only a couple episodes left. Maybe it would have been built more into this season or something and then COVID happened. But yeah, there were some like the Teddy thing and the Richard thing. I'm like, that's not like how it seemed last season. And now we're saying something completely different. So whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe they had to do that. Because in order for Richard to be able to forgive Catherine, like if he still believed he didn't do anything wrong, like they both then felt like they did something wrong and they both like apologize and can come because Catherine makes things right by putting Richard back in his position and also apologizing for all the things she did.
Which, that makes
sense.
I wondered too, Chief of Chiefs did not exist in the early seasons.
No.
I think it's very unnecessary, but whatever, there's that. And I also meant to say, when we were talking about Amelia, I really loved the reveal of Scout Derek Shepherd Lincoln.
I did too. Yeah.
I thought that was sweet.
Also, did you notice when Richard gets his office back, that bear is back?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like looking at it. I'm like, what is with this bear? They just really, Richard really loves that black bear or whatever it is.
He sure does.
Yeah.
Did you put together too, and I'm pretty sure on this, listeners, I'm sorry if you're a ghost yelling at me, I'm pretty sure that the baby that Joe just delivered, Luna, isn't that her daughter now?
That is, okay. Yeah. Yep.
So did that girl die?
That girl, she didn't yet, but I think she does end up dying. And that's why, instead of going into foster care, that's where Joe's like, Joe's like, I'm going to foster her, like foster to adopt or whatever.
So I thought that was cool that like Joe helped deliver her.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, well, there's Luna. And soon we're going to have blonde Joe, which I'm not looking forward to.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Not looking forward to that.
It just looked so bad.
Frankie, the son who was immunocompromised, his dad looked like Gene Wilder.
Yes, I thought that too. I also hated that storyline because it was so 2020. Like,
it was
how
so,
dare
yeah.
kids go and hang out. But then when the one dad broke down and cried and the other dad came, like, I was like, okay, that was nice acting. Like, for a moment. Like,
yes,
the breakdown was good.
I agree. But like, yeah, it was another one of those like bulletless things. Like, you tell your son you can't go out, but we see you on Instagram having barbecues. Yes. Just like, okay. We get
yeah,
it.
I have a note that says we blinked and suddenly social media is like discussed on the show a lot. Like, and I get that like it slowly did become a thing, but I still like, I don't think shows do social media well. Like an old show adapting to it. I think like, you know, like Never Have I Ever or all these like newer shows where like it's, they start in modern day and like any part of social media, dating apps, all of that is like a part of it. But when a classic show like Grey's suddenly has to include it, I just feel like they do such a clunky job.
It's like when SVU.
I was just going to say this.
When then they like implemented Facebook, but they didn't call it Facebook. They called it.
Yes.
Some weird name. I can't remember. There's probably someone screaming like, but it's like, it's very much like that.
Bookface. Yeah. I was thinking that too of SVU similarly, or like, and they show it, but it looks different.
Yes.
Like, I just think you either need to do it right or not do it at all. And like, keep us in the olden days.
I totally agree. I think, is there anyone else? Oh, well, Winston and Maggie. I guess I didn't really understand the part. Are there just no beds, or why is she sleeping on the ground?
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either. Like, is it that there's no beds, or that she couldn't sleep? She can't go in the house, but she wants to be near them.
That's what I was wondering. Is it like, is this like a hospital quarantine? That like, I didn't get it.
Right, because Meredith's at a hotel.
Right.
And so I think Maggie was too. So I think it's not going in the house. I thought he was going to be in the tent at first, because doesn't
so
he do
I.
that at some
yeah,
point?
Yeah, I think he does. And I was like, yeah, wow. So, but then the way he looked in that bed, I was like, that bed's in the tent? That's wild.
Yeah, like, same. It's like the Weasley tent in Harry Potter. which, God, do I want one of those?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so.
Oh, we need to quickly talk about DeLuca. I know we're.
Oh my God.
Go ahead.
I thought the part with the patient was great. Mm-hmm. I really like loved his redemption moment there. The intervention felt rushed and felt weird. The only part of it that I really liked was when Mare says to him, oh, where is it? I wrote something down. She says something to him. If you have something to say about it while I look for this.
Well, I was just going to mention what Maddie sent to us. And they put it in the Facebook group too. But Matthew reached out to us and just said that, I'm just going to read this brief thing. I'm bipolar too. I've been diagnosed for 12 years and on medications longer. The portrayal of DeLuca's mental illness is the best one I've ever seen on TV, especially for bipolar disorder. And so I think that's really important. And I do feel like it was from season 16 or whenever that started presenting itself. I think it was 16. Maybe mm-hmm. it was 15. All the way to now, I do feel like they presented, they did a good job with the portrayal of bipolar disorder.
Yes.
But I agree with you. It did feel rushed. Like, I wanted more time with his recovery and like.
Yeah. The quote that I loved was when Mara gets down on his level and says, fight as hard for yourself as you fight for everybody else. Because I think that part of DeLuca's character is really like special and what like sets him apart. And I just love the way she phrased that to him so that he could kind of like put it into context. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that line too, where he is upset in the intervention and says like, I'd give anything to not feel this way or whatever. And he points at Meredith, like, I'd give up you. Like,
yeah,
it's just so sad.
And he says, yeah, he says that, I know I'm not okay, I just don't know what to do. And I think, like, that's is a really good summary of that. He also, it was so sad that he like, the one thing he doesn't want is to be like his dad. Like he, it's like the only thing, that was his only goal in life. Was that. And so, but I'm glad that he is appearing to be better, and that I love that he's encouraging Meredith to get some sleep. I thought that was like a nice switch.
Oh, I thought it was interesting too, how Bailey says like DeLuca is no longer a resident here. And then we see like a flash of Meredith calling and checking on him, and he's like passed out on the couch. And then he shows up and he's actually an attending. I was like, okay, Grey's Anatomy. Like they were trying to get us to
think he's gone
because then he's like laying on the couch and Meredith's like, how are you? And he has like 18 missed calls or whatever. And then he shows up and he's like, my therapist told me like I need to rest. Yes. If I don't, the paranoia could creep back in. And so like, I don't know. I just felt like Grey's was trying to like get us to think he's not well. And then in the end, he's like doing really well. Okay.
No, we only have, I believe, one more podcast episode with him. I think. Episode 7.
It's
just
so sad because he's like, he is doing well. Like he's taking care of himself and he's on the proper meds and he's sleeping and he's taking care of himself during a pandemic when like none of the other doctors are. And then
we're going to have to watch that Station 19 episode. Maybe we'll do a DeLuca episode where we watch both of those.
Yeah. Great. Maybe that will be a bonus episode.
That's true. It could be that. So I think that's all I have until we talk about Joe Jackson in post-op. Should we start notes and trivia?
Yes.
There's a lot of them. This episode's title originated from the song All Tomorrow's Parties, originally sung by the Velvet Underground.
It scored 5.93 million viewers.
This is the first episode of the series to feature Richard Flood and Anthony Hill as part of the main cast. Flood recurred as Dr. Cormac Hayes throughout the 16th season, while Hill made one guest appearance as Dr. Winston Ndugu, in the episode Love of My Life. It can be presumed that Winston was set to appear in more episodes, which ended up being cut from the season due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Goof. Andrew's badge still reads Chief Resident despite being promoted to attending.
The episode's title originated from the song The Center Won't Hold, originally sung by Sleater-Kinney.
It scored 5.93 million viewers.
This is my favorite fact. This is the 365th episode of the series, meaning that there is now officially one episode of Grey's Anatomy to watch for every day of the year.
Wow, thank you so much. Patrick Dempsey returns as Derek Shepherd. He made his last appearance in the season 11 finale, You're My Home. Dempsey is credited as a guest star for the episode, marking the first time in the show that he is not credited as a main cast member.
Krista Vernoff came up with the idea of a reoccurring beach motif while spending lots of time on the beach during the pandemic. After deciding that the season would tackle the pandemic, she wanted to include some form of escapism for the fans and started thinking of ways she could show Meredith without a face mask. She settled on the beach as some sort of coronavirus-free dream world and came up with the idea of bringing back a deceased character for pure fan candy. She informed Ellen Pompeo, who suggested they ask Patrick Dempsey, whom she coincidentally had been in touch with to discuss doing something about encouraging people to wear face masks. Ellen talked it over with Patrick during a hike, and he agreed to come back.
His return was deliberately kept secret for most of the cast, crew, and people at ABC to make sure his return would be a surprise for the episode's premiere. At the table read, the cast read a fake version of the script, where Meredith reunites with her mother on the beach rather than Derek. Huh.
The scene was shot on a private beach with limited crew and a lot of security.
This episode's title originated from the song My Happy Ending, originally sung by Abby's favorite artist, Avril Lavigne.
This episode scored 5.99 million viewers.
While visually a parallel to previous occasions, Richard's introduction speech to the new interns deviates from the regular speech that is known by heart by most of the hospital staff, attesting to the heavy impact of COVID-19 has on the healthcare system.
Jo introduces herself to Val as Dr. Wilson, indicating that she has decided to go back to using her original name when she first arrived at Seattle Grace Mercy West, despite her previous reservations about doing so. Seattle Grace Mercy West? Wouldn't it be Grace Sloan?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Huh.
Okay, here's my favorite.
In response to fans making fun of Meredith's fall on the beach, Ellen Pompeo dubbed it as #TheYeet2020. Cool.
It's the stupidest fall I've ever seen. I believe also a stunt woman did that for her.
It was a really ridiculous fall.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Remember, if you are a patron, you can listen on
Wait.
What?
We have to do Catherine Fox.
I don't
want to
rate these. Okay, Catherine Fox. I'm going to give it to DeLuca.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I was thinking DeLuca, but I was also maybe thinking Richard. He figures out how to sanitize the PPE, and he also gets Chief of Chiefs Chief back. So.
And his wife.
And he gets his wife back. So
I like that. I like that. Okay. Let's do Richard. He's also part of the intervention for DeLuca.
Yeah. So Richie Rich, Richard. Okay, I'm going to rate this 4 out of 10.
I went there. So it's like I want to rate the Derek 10 out of 10 because that shock was so much fun. But yeah. Everything else was for sure a 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is I think this is some of the lowest we've ever rated. We're really getting there.
Okay, I have a fun idea for the season. What if we rate the beach scene as its own rating because there's a lot of them. And then we rate like real world. So real world I'm going to do a 4, beach I'm going to give a 9 out of 10.
Okay, yeah, I'll do 9 out of 10 for beach also.
The fall ruined it for me.
Oh yeah, that took a point off. You're absolutely right. But the you know what? I'm giving it an 8.5 because that wave is pretty ridiculous.
All right, everyone. If you are listening on the app, make sure to stick around for post-op. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for your support. Time of death is 1417.
Beep. Beep.